We welcome to our microphones the new football coach at Vanderbilt University. Clark Lee is on the line with us. Clark, how are you?
George, I am happy to be with you, man. I know we've been meaning to do this, and it's great to be on the show, so I appreciate you having me.
Likewise. So people may not know a little past connection. Your dad was the Sounds team physician for years, and I knew him way before I even knew that you were out there and existed. So tell me what it was like when you got to pick up the phone and say, "Dad, I'm coming home."
Well, the way things function anymore, I don't know that I actually got to tell him that. I think he found out before I was able to make that call. But I will tell you that we, as a family celebrated, even my wife and I, just, you know, the chance to be back home and to be around my parents, it makes this extra special. And we've grown up in this, you know, really kind of being a function in a way without grandparents around when we raise our children. And so what a nice aspect of moving back home is, you know, get to tie this, kind of stitch the family together, which has been special. But he, you know, George, you know, my dad, he was beyond excited, and I've kind of had to keep him from like trying to find his way on the sidelines as we were practicing every day. He's eager to see Vanderbilt football ascend.
I believe it 100%. You know, you always hear this term about the first 100 days in office for a president. What have your first 100 been like?
Obviously there were certain things that I wanted to get accomplished from a standpoint of the environment here, the atmosphere around the program, getting to know the team and trying to make sure that my fingerprints are on this program, and my personality is embedded in this program. That stuff takes time. And so it's kind of a relentless focus on that. I'll also tell you, George, it's been a lot of learning too. And, that's not to say that, we haven't executed on a plan, but, you know, the ability to adapt that plan as we kind of had a chance to peek behind the curtain and really see where the program was and what the needs were. And to complement that with our approach. And anytime you're in a new role, they're just thinking, especially one that is as dynamic as being a college football head coach at this level and in this day and age, there's a lot of learning to be done. So hiring the staff took up a huge portion of energy and time, which was awesome. Getting to the team was kind of the next focus and trying to shift the attitude within the program, insulating it from external influence and really just focusing on how we grow it, the internal perception and bring pride back to being a part of this program. And then obviously through spring, developing an attitude in our work and a sustained focus on effort through the spring that to me unlocks potential for this summer to then jettison us into the fall. So it all kind of ties together. There's been certainly a lot. The days have been full, but we're having a lot of fun doing it.
Clark, I'm curious, even though you were really well trained to get this opportunity, is there anything that's happened that you've had to say, until you sit in the seat, there's no way you can know this is coming?
To say no way that you know is maybe a little bit extreme, but to understand from this seat just how important alignment within the organization is. Like we have to all be aligned towards the vision, and we have to speak the language every day. And I think some people kind of go over the top with their approach to that. But like for me, I feel like a strength of mine as a coach has been, as a unit builder, that started as a linebacker coach, developing, a language with my linebacker unit, a way of doing things, standards and expectations, building ownership within the group towards that vision. And that's really easy as a position coach because you have that direct line every day. I think when you shift into being a coordinator, you can still have kind of ongoing side conversations with everybody within your side of the ball. Like, that's about 40 guys at any given time. But you start to understand that, like, my message is important, but the consistent message and the strengthening of that message by the assistants is critical to any kind of sustained effort. Now I feel like, you know, I'm two people removed from that direct contact. I've got to work really hard to make sure that I am in front of this team and engaged with this team every single day, that they know their head coach is behind them and working for them, and that they know, again, they know my heartbeat. I think that's so important. However, what is really kind of a humbling thought is the idea that, like, if I'm not spending time training my staff and getting and working towards alignment within our program, that in some way the message will be lost in translation. And I think that can really cheapen the experience, and it can damage what we're trying to accomplish. And so that's the thing I've learned most, or the thing that I've really spent the most time on, is just trying to ensure that not only am I carrying the message to the team, but I'm building the message within our staff too. I'm very fortunate and grateful to have such good people in this office with me that support this vision. But we have to be in constant search as a staff. We have to be in a cycle of continuous growth, and it's my responsibility to make sure that mindset permeates our program.
Clark, when you hired Barton Simmons, you got my attention big time. Barton and I had done a national TV recruiting show for a couple of years, which on my end was a total joke because I know nothing about recruiting. But I would watch Barton during commercial breaks in this TV show, and he'd be just, you know, tweeting and texting and getting info. And I was like, whoa, he is really wired. Was this always, because you all have a long background, had it always been, if I ever get a head coaching job, I want you?
You know, what's interesting is we never talked about it explicitly. Like, I knew that I was on track to get a head coaching job, but I also knew that, like, I wasn't going to be hiring Barton to small town, you know, USA, wherever outside of Nashville. You know, once this became viable, where I felt like that I was, you know, I was maybe in my second interview with Vanderbilt, and I felt like there was a possibility here, I think I just kind of floated it out to him one night. It was late. We were finishing up a call about just vision for the program. And just, you know, he and I obviously are really close friends, but we've shared in our professional work. And so he's always been a sounding board. And I just kind of said, hey, listen, if it worked out, you know, would you ever be interested in being a part of this? And I honestly thought he was going to tell me no, because it is such an endeavor, right? Like, that's such a big transition from being, you know, a guy that works really kind of on his own as a, you know, internet TV, Twitter personality, you know, really a national writer who has, you know, he just like an agenda that kind of fluctuates with his family schedule, et cetera, to now be a part of like the ultimate team environment where you have an office, you have a desk, and you got to get in here and go to work and rally, you know, to actually work with your team members to drive the recruiting and evaluation operation forward. So I wasn't sure what his response would be, but he immediately was like, let's do it. So I was like, all right, man. So that was incredibly energizing to me, because I knew how important that role was going to be. And the fact that he was, not because he's my friend, but because to me, he is the perfect person for that job here at Vanderbilt. And he's growing in that role too, George. We're all works in progress. He's not been directly, you know, involved in the program. There's a lot of learning that goes into that. But what we will do over time is, I think, deepen and entrench ourselves in a recruiting footprint that, you know, once the momentum gets starting, I think it'll build and deliver us the product we so desperately want and the vision that we have.
New Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee's on the line with us. Watson, I hogged at least one question too many. Do the best you can.
Clark, congratulations, man. I'm just thrilled for you. I know the feeling of it's something special when you come back to coach at your alma mater. And I just congratulations to you, and enjoy every minute of it.
I really appreciate that, and means a lot to hear from you. And I am enjoying it. This is like for me been the first time in my career where I'm not working towards something in the future. You know, I am every day literally living the dream. And so that dream sometimes can be frustrating. That dream has a lot of work, you know, but it's passion driven, and it's exciting, and I'm around people that I believe in, and I'm at a place I believe in. And you know, we're going to give this thing our full effort because we know the potential that exists here. So I appreciate your words there. It means a lot.
Clark, the thing that I've been impressed with that you've done is, looking back myself, when I was there in the mid-'80s or early 80s as offense coordinator, then mid-'80s as the head coach, was you've done a thing in recruiting that I think was my mistake. I didn't have enough eyeballs in recruiting. And a really solid plan. I felt like my last 2 years I had really good classes, but the start was just not there. And I've watched you, and I felt this all along, and I've watched what you've done, and you've jumped in this recruiting, and you gotta go national. You gotta hit your spots. I understand all that, but I think you've put a good recruiting plan with quite a few people involved, because the first thing you have to do, in my opinion, Clark, at Vanderbilt, is get players good enough, and I'm sure you've got some, but you've just got to get more and more. You got to get players good enough to win in the SEC, and then you got to coach them well, but you've got to get the product in first, and I think that's what I felt you jumped on very quickly and are off to a great start with the way you're going about it.
Well, Coach, I appreciate that, and I'll tell you, that's been obviously it's the lifeblood of the program, recruiting, and we have to also be conscious of, you know, recruiting at Vanderbilt is different, you know, drastically different than anywhere else in the country, and that's not a bad thing. I think the filtration that's inherent in being at an elite school, elite university like Vanderbilt is, you know, we believe how you do anything is how you do everything. And if you're prideful and conscientious in one area of your life, you'd be prideful and conscientious in all areas of life. We don't pick and choose our moments to deploy excellence here. And so we feel like the things that make us unique as a program differentiate us on the field. And if we stay true to that in our evaluation process and focus on the raw material that we can develop here, and I think to your point, and build depth to win in the SEC, because it's one thing to have the top line players. It's another thing to have the depth to sustain a season in this conference. Over time, you know, that's going to give us the best chance to not just to have success, but to sustain success. So, you know, Coach, you've lived it. You know what this is all about. I appreciate your wisdom and reflection. And I'd love for you to come over here and hang out with me, honestly.
I think we're headed that way. I think Norman Jordan and Whit Taylor and I are coming to see you shortly. So,
good.
We're going to do that. I think we're going through your secretary. Clark, tell the folks, the fans, a little bit, and don't get personal with it, but I've been at six different schools as a head coach, and every one of them different. Talk a little bit about the sellable, the good things that you can sell that are there at Vanderbilt to attract these really good players to come, and then how that player has to want those things for you to recruit him. That even after going to school there, it took me a while to understand that. You've got to go find the guy that wants what Vanderbilt has, and that guy's out there. Talk just a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say to you and to everyone out there is just that when you're in this position, and I think I learned a lot from my time at Notre Dame, you don't need to deviate from the fit at your university, meaning I'm not trying to make this a mini version of any other program in our conference. I want to make this authentically Vanderbilt, which means as you talked about having multiple eyes in the evaluation process.
Yeah.
And the national footprint's important, but like I still think scouring the 5-hour radius and turning over all the stones is going to be essential. We have such a dynamic footprint. And I think the population explosion in Middle Tennessee and the level of football played in our adjacent states gives us this opportunity to recruit players that can play in our league. And we just need to make sure that we have that we're recruiting players that we're able to retain in this program, which means they're seeking the highest possible operating standards. They're willing to invest in their development, and you know they're also able to perform at a level. And it's important for them to engage in education, right? Like that's a part of our equation, because if we don't develop our roster, we're not going to have a chance to sustain success. We, you know, I think this program has had flashes. This is about how we sustain over time. And so that's more philosophical. When you ask about what to sell here, you know, obviously the university, in my opinion, will sell itself to players. I want, in my conversations, to make this a football decision for these student athletes. Meaning, and I say that to them, this should be a football decision. You're not coming to play in the SEC. You're coming to win the SEC. And I know that probably sounds a little audacious, but that's who I am, and that's how I feel. I didn't come here just to participate. You know, I came here to be competitive and to win. And I want to make sure that that's communicated to prospects, because I really don't want them to be a part of this unless they have the same vision for themselves here. So the school is a part of this that will draw attention. The city will draw attention, right? What I want to make sure that we sell within this program is you can't go to another school in this country and be developed at a higher level. The people, and that has nothing to do with facilities. It has to do with the people that are involved, that are committed to your growth as a person, as a player. We've hired a mental performance coach. We have Earl Bennett as the director of player development. His personal experience here, you know, I handpicked the staff, scoured the country to find what I felt like were high energy, high enthusiasm, great teachers, fundamental and technical expertise, right? I wanted those things. I didn't focus on, hey, can this guy recruit in the SEC? Because we're not looking to, we're not looking for relevance from, you know, January to August. What we're looking to do is stay true to our blueprint, to find that raw material that we can develop. We want to make sure we set this thing up to be competitive in the fall. And that's our advantage here. And so that's how we hired the staff. I went and got Brandon Horgan from Wake Forest, which they've done an incredible job building that program. And Brandon's been an integral part of that. He runs our weight room. All those pieces combine to make this experience as good as anything that's out there. The fact that you get to do it in a city that is as dynamic as any in our country, the fact that you get to do it at a institution that provides you a top 15 education, the fact that you get to do it while being competitive and winning at the highest level in the Southeast Conference, I think all those things make this as attractive as any place. If you're not looking for that, if you're not looking for the education, you know, then all of a sudden those guys are going to go elsewhere, and that's okay. It's not about who we don't get. It's about finding the ones that want this, making sure that they want both, right? They want the high level academics, but they have to be committed to playing and preparing for winning football and having a winning attitude. And those are things that we place a high value on.
George, you want to stop there? What you want to do?
You know what? Let's do, Terry, you're going to get the short end of the stick here. This is what you get for being a Yankee fan. You get one question with Clark. Make it the best question of your life.
Okay. All right. We'll go right now. Clark, I guess one of the things with Vanderbilt has always been that, you know, their alumni are located more all over the country maybe than the other schools in the Southeastern Conference who have kind of a built-in fan base as state schools. And as part of that, you know, Vanderbilt's football base comes from a lot of, you know, people who have been Commodore fans but did not attend school there. What are some of the ways you think that you guys need to reach out and rekindle getting some of those people back involved and interested in the program?
That's a great question, and that's one that I spend a lot of, you know, the corners of my day focused on, especially in the pandemic where I haven't been able to get out as much. You know, I think here's the opportunity we have is we have, again, a sports city that has a lot of people that have moved into it from outside of the Southeast. And as that's happened, they may not have a direct allegiance with, you know, a program in this conference, but what we can offer them is an opportunity to come into our stadium, which if you've sat, and I was walking the stadium last week, and I walked it twice, there is not a bad seat in that stadium, and some of those vantage points offer you the most intimate experience to SEC football that you will find in the country. You know, if you love college football, if you're interested in getting behind something that supports a student athlete, that stays true to this idea that our guys are here to excel as football players, but also we're growing the future leaders of our country, if those are things that excite you, I've got a program for you. And what my responsibility and our responsibility is then to deliver a product that they can get behind. Before I became the head coach here, I was an alum and I was a supporter and I was an observer, and I understand the frustrations of sometimes feeling like a program that you're following is falling short of what you feel like is the standard for excellence or standard of competitive excellence. I watch the Predators team right now and I see a group that is just grinding out wins. I see an identity line that is, you know, like dumping the puck in and just suppressing it in the zone. And it's so much fun. They're physical and they're tough, and it's so much fun to watch. And I'll watch them every night, you know, and there are times when maybe they haven't had that identity where it's you could be there or you couldn't. Well, what we want to do is develop a product here that is representative of the spirit of Nashville, that's representative of the excellence of this university. And then above all things, all anything, it's tough and it's physical and it's competitive. And so, you know, you don't know what the outcome is going to be when you walk into Vanderbilt Stadium, but you know you're in for a four-quarter show where you're going to be on the edge of your seat and watching a team that you can rally behind, work hard late in the game to separate from the opponent. And to me, that in the early phases of this will get people excited, and that's my responsibility in engaging this fan base. And that's what we intend to do.
Clark, two things as we end this. First of all, thank you for taking the time to come on with us. Please tell your dad I said hello. And secondly, you hit the Predator thing dead on. That's exactly what I love right now. They're a tough out.
That's right. That's right. George, I appreciate the chance to be with you. I mean, obviously I grew up listening to you, and so it's just cool to be on this call. Coach Brown, too, for you. Again, I appreciate you and everything you've given to this university and this program. I'm excited to get with you guys some more, and I will absolutely pass along your best to my dad, but I also will ask that you never have him on your show. he's a great man. Eventually he's going to run for mayor of Nashville, I think, because I haven't met someone who doesn't like him yet, but no, hey, I appreciate you guys so much for the opportunity to come and talk about our program, and I look forward to doing this again sometime soon.
Clark, thank you. Tell him I'll vote for him.
I will do.
See you.
Thanks so much, guys.